Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on music icons, pop culture, and food gods, we're bringing you the hottest guests from around the globe with your host, music business authority, LA personal development commentator, Mike Gormley. The Jeremiah Show is sound designed by master sound engineer, Dr. D. He's a restaurant and bar fixer. He's opened and fixed over 200 restaurants, bars, and hotels. He's a partner with legendary drummer Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui. And he's your radio host. Step aside, Superman, from a race around the sun, your host, Mike Gormley.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Gormley, and this is the Jeremiah Show. Jeremiah can be found. He's on here somewhere. He's actually with us today, which is a wonderful move. Hi, Jeremiah. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mike. You're down in L.A. I'm in Santa Barbara. I can't complain up here. I changed my hairstyle. If you're watching the Zoom video version of this interview, I'm the guy with the wig there. What do you guys think? Send me your thoughts.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Mike,
what's
man,
going on in Santa Barbara?
It's been so long since you've been on the show in the Mike Gormley music series. I've been jonesing for another interview, and you got a great one today. I can't wait to.
I kind of took the summer off, didn't I?
You did. You did. You went to the beach like I did.
But that's the way it went, yeah.
It's what you accused me of all the time. You were actually at the beach.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
Zuma Beach, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's a nice one. That's a nice beach. Yeah. Well, I just want to mention real quick, our good friend Moss Jacobs up at the Santa Barbara Bowl has some tickets left for tonight for My Morning Jacket. Golden Voice presents My Morning Jacket with special guest Duran Jones and the Indications. And that's actually tonight. It starts at 6 o'clock. There are a few tickets left. So call the Santa Barbara Bowl box office or go to sbbowl.com or axsaxis.com. That's what's going on in Santa Barbara tonight, Mike.
All right. Well, that's not a bad choice.
No. And remember that Rocket Man, the version they did, My Morning Jacket did of Rocket Man? That is one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, they'll probably play it tonight just for you.
Just for me.
Whether you're there or not.
Well, Mike, take it over, Ed. I can't wait for this interview.
All right. Well, we are here today with, I love this name, Ruby Ate the Fig.
I do too.
And Ruby Ate the Fig is, in fact, a band. And we're going to meet a couple of people from the band in a few minutes. If you're watching on YouTube, you can already see, you can see one of them. The other one is hiding behind Bach, as a matter of fact. I'm assuming that's Bach. Is that Mark? Is that correct? That's not Beethoven.
That is correct, Mike. Your knowledge of music is extensive.
I know. Isn't it wonderful?
Didn't you used to manage
besides
Bach?
Besides the fact that it says Bach man.
And well, you know, it's always a good idea to give a hint. But
yeah, I know. In this case, it was a great idea.
Okay. Well, it's already spurred conversation regarding hairstyle.
Yeah, so that, and that's what we're here for. Talking about hairstyle.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, because, you know, music is music, but hairstyles make the day.
That's right. Exactly. Another guest is Sharon, who is calling us from Santa Fe, New Mexico, I believe, right? You're there
right.
today?
Yep.
That's your home.
Yep. Yes.
But you were born in Jerusalem, which is
yes.
interesting. But you grew up in Palm Springs.
Yes.
And you went to UC Berkeley, and now you're in Santa Fe. You get around.
I do.
And we'll talk about getting around, because you get around some very interesting places from what I've been reading. Mm. First off, Ruby Ate the Fig is going to be, I don't have the dates in front of me, we're going to be in Ojai pretty soon, opening for Jefferson. Is it Starship or Airplane these days? I'm not sure which.
Jefferson Starship.
It yeah. is. Okay. All right. What's the date on that show?
That's October 2nd. It's a week from tomorrow, Saturday. We go right. on at 6 p.m. and we have a half hour set. We're really excited because they're our heroes. And it's going to be at the Libby Bowl in Ojai.
Great.
Outdoors. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be
this
really
is cool. a year late.
It is a year late. We were booked last year and we got, luckily, the show's going on this year. So
fantastic. Yeah. And then the other thing that's very interesting is you're going to be in LA, which is a rare visit. You're going to be at Hotel Cafe.
Yes, that's a huge show for us. We're really excited about that. Thanks to you, Mike. And we're the headliners Sunday, October 17th at the Hotel Cafe. We go on at 9 o'clock.
That is going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very interesting show. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to read something here so people can get an idea. There's from a couple of publications have written about Ruby Ate the Fig. And it's not, you know, it may look bright to you, but I don't have much light here. But anyway, here goes. Their sound is otherworldly. It's mystically inclined with deft instrumentation, passionate vocals, stunning guitar work. Isn't it great? We have the vocalist and the guitarist with us. And we're already praising them. And another one said, Ruby's sound can be described as jazz rock fusion with a heavy Middle Eastern vibe and vocals that can recall Grace Slick in her prime. And there's another one, because you're going to be with Jefferson Starship, and although she's not going to be there, one assumes, that connection when you hear the music, and in no way does Ruby Ate the Fig copy Jefferson Starship or Airplane or Grace Slick. But the vibe is in there, as they say. It's in there somewhere. She's, I assume, a hero of yours, Sharon. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Grace Slick is, yes. I mean, as a singer and actually in orientation with my writing, definitely Grace Slick is probably the biggest influence on me.
I have to say.
Even though it's so hard to say the biggest. But yeah, Grace Slick is, yeah, she's amazing. And when I got turned on to Jefferson Airplane, because obviously I missed that whole scene, unfortunately, I just devoured everything about her. And she took a direction that was kind of going in a Middle Eastern direction. And I went, oh, yeah, that's where I'm going to go. And White Rabbit, of course, you know, even though it's a bolero, it definitely has, you know, our song, Breathe With Me Slowly, you know, is a hats off to that song as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Grace has influenced me as a singer and as a writer for sure.
Have you ever met her?
No, I would love to. It's my fantasy to meet her and to play her our music and say, thank you.
I wish I had her number for you, but I
don't. I would love to meet Grace Slick and just say, thank you. Thank you. You know? Yeah.
Well, she's a straightforward lady. Mm. Love to hear what she thinks of your music, because I'll bet you she'd connect with it quite nicely.
That would be a real treat.
But Sharon, we're going to get into some of the influences and so on. The members of this band are mind-blowing, really. Maybe you could run down. I mean, Mark is here. Mark Bachman is here. Mark, I know from Oingo Boingo days.
Yes, indeed. I was going to wonder if somebody was going to ask how we knew each other.
Yeah, well, I'm bringing it up because I'm proud of it.
Good, good. So am I.
I'm proud of knowing you. I'm not hiding it. I'll tell you an interesting story and try to keep it short regarding Mark. I've mentioned this to him a couple of times. Boingo stopped playing in 1995, which is probably the last time I saw Mark at a certain point. By 2001, 2002, I hadn't seen Mark since Halloween night 1995. Around that time, somebody gives me, in those days, a DVD of Concert for George, which is a beautiful concert in honor of George Harrison. And Eric Clapton is there, Paul McCartney, Ringo, Ravi Shankar. Who's the guy from ELO, Mark?
Jeff Lynne.
Yeah, Jeff Lynne. That was good. So I'm watching this. And there's a guy over in a corner playing guitar with his cap on. And I'm going, I know that guy. Mm-hmm. I know him from somewhere. But I didn't know Mark when he was with Oingo Boingo. Didn't play guitar very much. You were what, like computer and keyboards and things like that. Is that accurate, Mark?
When I was working with Boingo and Danny and Elfman and Steve Bartek, I was playing keyboards on tour.
Yeah.
And I would do a lot of stuff for the records behind the scenes as far as wrangling all the samplers and synths and stuff like that. But on tour, I was doing all that on stage and doing all the keyboards. But I never
saw you play guitar. I didn't even know you played guitar.
Well, that's kind of the surprise that a lot of people have, which is guitar is my main instrument and keyboards would be my second instrument, but I do play both of them. And there were when you have a guitar player like Steve Bartek in the band, what do you need with another guitar player?
Exactly. But anyway, I'm watching a concert for George. So the guy in the corner looks really familiar and the cap looks really familiar, but the guitar doesn't fit. I'd never seen him play guitar. So I'm sitting there watching him play. I think it's George Harrison's licks in these songs because Eric Clapton is also playing. And all these superstars are up there. And finally it dawns on me, that's Mark Mann. I didn't even know he played guitar, but there he was up there with McCartney and Danny Harrison, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be a little nerve-wracking. No? Yes? What?
Yeah. And one of my great memories with Sharon is out at her beautiful house in Santa Fe, which is actually outside of Santa Fe on a remote mesa. And we met through a mutual music colleague, and I think it might have even been, I don't know, one of the first times I went out there to visit and work on music with her out in the Santa Fe desert area. Was she hadn't seen Concert for George, I think one night we just put it on a DVD and I'll hunker down and it was like she kept looking over at me like, what?
Like, that's you?
That's you?
Oh my God, that's you? I know you? Like, you're sitting in my living room right now?
I've had this happen a number of times, Mike, where other guys in the music industry who've known me for a while, and they were pleasantly surprised. But it's a great calling card, and part of what George loved was integrating music from other cultures, like Indian music, into Western music, and introducing Ravi Shankar on a global scale with his music with the Beatles, and that's kind of what Ruby is doing here, which is integrating two musical styles of rock and roll, which might be considered, you know, jazz rock or progressive rock, but it's really none of those, but with a Middle Eastern flavor. And talk about, have Sharon tell us about our percussionist, Polly.
And we're going to get to everybody, because Polly is very important, and the bass player, it's a phenomenal lineup, and I was heading down that road.
You've heard the term world music, right? Yeah. Well, this is really a world music band, because the drummer lives in Spain. The hoop player lived in New York. I live in L.A. Sharon lives in Santa Fe. We have people who've played with us who are woodwind players from Eastern Europe and Armenia. And it really is a world music band, because everyone comes from all over the world.
But even without a pandemic, it must be difficult for everybody to get together for you guys to play live very often.
Have Sharon tell about the the logistics of doing a Ruby. She gets everybody. She really found all her favorite people, right, Sharon?
Yeah. All the players in the band are just my heroes, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. And I just set it up. We all get together. It's like we're all in different sectors of the universe, and we all come through a wormhole and just go, whoosh, and we materialize in one place, which we're going to be doing this Sunday. And we all get together. We all have recorded the songs, and so we all know them. And we get together, and we get a band house in LA, and we rehearse for intensely, and then we tour. And it's great. And everyone's such a great player that, you know, we don't have to rehearse for a month. We're just dialed in like the first hour.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's excellent musicians. So let's run down the musicians, shall we? Not run them down per se, but let's go down the list. We mentioned Holly, which we will get to, but Kenny Bly on bass.
Kenny's amazing. He's played all over. He studied with Jamie Jamerson. He's a phenomenal player. And
those who may not know, Jamie Jamerson, in many ways, was the sound of Motown. Mm-hmm. I mean, his bass had a lot to do with that Motown sound coming out. And he's sort of a saint among musicians in a way. I mean, he's looked up to beyond the norm. So anyway, I just want to plug that in there. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So he studied with Jamie Jamerson. The reason why I love Kenny, I met him. I had a band in LA called, you know, way before Ruby, and Kenny was in that band. And the reason why I love Kenny and his bass playing is his counter melodies are just amazing. What he comes up with, his bass lines are just inspiring and really out of the box. And he grooves, obviously, but it's his melodies that are just so beautiful. So yes, he studied with Jamie Jamerson, and he has, you know, he had quite a career. He loves playing with us, and we love playing with him. And he's now based in Las Vegas.
Okay. Now Polly, given the Middle Eastern feel to this, she's an important component and an amazing component. Can you talk about her a little bit?
Polly's amazing. So Polly Tapia Ferber plays all the Middle Eastern percussion. She plays Dumbek Rick, which is the Arabic tambourine. She plays the frame drum. She plays finger cymbals. She'll even play the shaker. She's amazing. And she's been playing Middle Eastern music for decades and is teaching it and performed all over the world. And the interesting thing for me is I was writing just kind of straight ahead rock and roll music, but I knew I wanted to do kind of Middle Eastern stuff. And I met Polly in Santa Fe. That's where she lives. And she was teaching Dumbek, and she was my Dumbek teacher. And then my whole world changed, because then all my writing went, oh, okay, here are the rhythms. She put the rhythms in my hand. All the odd time signatures, all the instrumentation, you know, we would listen to music for hours. And so I was originally going to play Dumbek in a rock band. I thought, oh, that's cool. But then I'm playing with Polly. I'm like, well, I'll just play the guitar. She can play Dumbek in the rock band. So she's one of the earliest members of the band. She was my teacher and huge influence on my writing and the writing for Ruby, for sure.
And then going with that is Danny Montgomery on drums.
Danny Montgomery is amazing. He's actually here right now. He came in a couple of days ago. I have an Airstream that's gutted out in 1969. And it's gutted out. I have our whole studio back in there, drums and a PA system. It's the Ruby Pod. Mm-hmm. And we've been rehearsing every day. He's sleeping right now. He's amazing. So Danny Montgomery has played with like everybody in the world. He's just one of the best drummers. His groove is phenomenal. And before I went to Berkeley, I went to College of the Redwoods. I dropped out of high school and went to College of the Redwoods when I was 16. And I was 16 and I would sneak into the bar to watch Danny play. Mm-hmm. So he's another kind of one of my heroes. And I would just watch him. He'd play a samba that would just, you know, knock you out. Amazing. Amazing.
I'm just wondering why he lives in Spain. Why would he choose Spain?
Yeah, well, he has a project that he works with right now in Spain that he loves. And he's based in Spain, but he's been going before COVID, obviously. He goes back and forth. So he'll tour with us. He'll do a lot of session work in the Bay Area, LA, and then he'll play in Spain because he's based in Europe. He'll play with a whole bunch of American touring acts in Europe. So it's kind of a European base for him, but he's really been living in both places.
He's Spain, an international man. Mm-hmm. But now, are you going to have your dancers with you?
No, we won't have a dancer with us this time. But she's amazing too.
Yeah. That's too bad. I've seen some video. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. She's beautiful. When we do our whole shows, this tour, we're basically doing opening acts like for Jefferson Starship, October 2nd at the Libby Bowl. And we basically have a full show in Santa Barbara, October 14th at the Music Alley at 9 o'clock. And we have a full show at Hotel Cafe. So and that's October 17th. When we have had our dancers, it would be just like a whole full show. You know, we would, you know, have our own club, our own thing. So this tour, we're doing a lot of opening acts, so we couldn't, you know, we couldn't really justify bringing a dancer in.
Right. I want to get to the Middle Eastern aspect because we're heading into a commercial, aren't we? So maybe we shouldn't get into that. That will call for more explanation than you'll have time for at this point.
When we come back, we can talk about Ali Paris on Kanun and Adam Good, who is our oud player, and just a bunch of the people who have played with us over the years as part of the band. It's sort of as possible, we'll have a different makeup. And this tour, we're really, really proud and happy to have Ali joining us on Middle Eastern zither called
Kanun. Wonderful. Excellent. Thanks for bringing that up. Jeremiah, we're going into commercial and then we'll be back in a minute, I assume. You want to people know what's going on?
Sure, I'd love to. First of all, I want to thank you for sending me the music to put together for the soundtrack, the music from Ruby Ate the Fig. I really enjoyed it, and you're going to enjoy it too. So I'll stop talking here, but we're going to take you to break with Ruby Ate the Fig, Caress the Moon. This music, though, is just, it's driving, it's full. This is full, beautiful music. It feels carnal, it feels spiritual, it's tribal a little to me. It's just, I love it. I loved every song that we're going to play throughout this show. So again, we're going to take you to break right now with Ruby Ate the Fig, Caress the Moon.
Ruby Ate the Fig, rock with a Middle Eastern vibe, is touring Southern California this October, opening for Jefferson Starship October 2nd at the Libby Bowl in Ojai, and headlining the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood on October 17th. Zeppelin and Mahavishnu riding through the desert, stopping to have tea with Grace Slick. Please go to RubyAteTheFig.com for tickets and tour schedules.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We are Ann
and Heather,
and we are better together.
From the ashes comes the flame. From the arrow comes the aim. Comes your call, from your softness comes it all. From the desert comes the stream, from the vision comes the dream, from the cut comes the myrrh, from the blood comes the burn. Now will we say goodbye to heroes. Your gift is still alive, and you'll be playing with the angels and drinking tea with roses and wine. I thought I heard you on the radio, a crescent moon electrified.
My name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook, Awesome. Hey, I got a documentary coming out, a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music, Jeremiah. You're loved, Holmes.
The Jeremiah Show, your show to hear the best new music and exclusive artist interviews. You won't hear personal interviews like these anywhere else.
Hi, this is Johnny Valenti. I'm the owner of Birdland Jazz Club in New York City for nearly four decades. Going dark during the global pandemic taught me how important the arts, especially music, are to each of our cultures and our health. Musicians literally bring life and joy to our daily lives. Radio shows that support musicians and music, like the Jeremiah Show, are so important in keeping music alive. I hope that you will keep listening and supporting musicians. Please support the music. And please come and visit me at Birdland when you're in New York City. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. Oh, yeah. Well, who's going to? Mike, you go. No, it's your turn.
No,
we're stepping on each other. I just wanted to say real quick, we came back from break with Ruby Ate the Fig. Breathe With Me Slowly. Back to you, Mike.
You mentioned that song earlier, Sharon, as a Jefferson Airplane influence song. Is that accurate? I don't know. That wasn't your wording, but you mentioned there's the influence.
Yeah, definitely White Rabbit is a model for Breathe With Me Slowly. When I wrote Breathe With Me Slowly, I wasn't thinking of White Rabbit. But after I wrote it, I went, oh, yeah, this is kind of a nod to White Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
It has that driving and it's got a Middle Eastern groove to it. Great guitar work by Mark Mann and the whole band.
Mark mentioned before we went to commercial some other musicians who are going to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go into it just a little bit, or do you
sure.
think you covered it?
Sure. So where we were last, we were talking about Polly Tapia Ferber, the percussionist, Danny Montgomery, the drummer, Kenny Bly, the bass player. We have a new addition to our band who's just incredible. His name is Ali Paris. And he's from Palestine, and he plays the kanun, which is a Middle Eastern plucked zither. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a trapezoid triangle that sits on a stand, and he plucks it. It's kind of could be harpish-like sound. And he's really a master, and he's amazing. He's featured on one of the songs that you'll be playing during this hour called They Came With Stones. He has a solo in there, which is great. And so we're really excited to be playing with him. We also have another percussionist that we are going to be working with named Luke Notary, who also does Middle Eastern percussion. So we're excited about him too. And in the past, we've played with Surem Baronian, who played the Armenian duduk and clarinet. He's back east. And our oud player, which is a Middle Eastern lute, which is the predecessor to the guitar. Our oud player, Adam Good, couldn't make this tour because of the whole COVID situation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You want to talk about the song that was played during the break, Caress the Moon, who that was written for?
Yes, Caress the Moon was written for our original oud player, Haig Manoukian, who was just amazing, also just one of my heroes, and he passed away, unfortunately. So I wrote Caress the Moon, kind of a farewell song to Haig, and also to my cousin who took his life very young. Mm. So Caress the Moon is just, I love you, goodbye, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your gift.
Yeah.
For our oud player, yeah.
It's a beautiful song.
Mark did the amazing orchestration on that.
When you record, you express something with everybody all over the place. Nowadays, you can record from all over the place. Is that what you do, or do you wait till you can get together?
What we do is we record, you know, just the basic tracks, percussion, drums, bass, guitar, vocals, and then we'll bring in, you know, like Ali, or we'll bring in Mark afterwards. But the ideal thing is that we all do get together and learn the new songs together. So we're playing them, and then and some of the songs, we have a bunch of recordings we're going to be releasing this whole year. And hopefully we'll be coming back for a tour in June 2022 with a CD release, you know, tour. Mm-hmm. And so we have a bunch of recordings where it was all done live and everything. In fact, they came with Stones and Breathe With Me Slowly and Tremor. We all did live. You know, we have a great studio we work with in Pasadena called the Mouse House. And he was like putting someone in the bathroom and someone in the, you know, closet. And so, yeah, when we can record live, it's the best. We love it. But sometimes, you know, we just have to do drums and bass and then just layer over it.
There's another factor that jumped out at me the Middle Eastern aspect isn't just because you were born in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. You've spent a lot of time there. You've been with the Bedouin tribes. Mm. I mean, you've lived with them, right? On more than one occasion. Is that?
Yeah. Accurate? Yeah. So the Middle Eastern, we could talk about the music, you know, there's a bunch of my songs where the rhythms are just straight out Middle Eastern rhythms and the percussion's going and, you know, I make a fusion. And there's a lot of songs too, that I do a lot of odd time writing, and that the odd time songs are really, they really come out of me organically. I don't sit there and go, oh, I'm going to do a measure of 7 and a measure of 11 and a measure of 3. I'm just playing them and I go, oh, that's cool. And I record it and say, oh, that's cool. What did I do? Oh, a measure of 7, a measure of 11 and a measure of 3. So there's the Middle Eastern element in my music is rhythmically and in the odd time stuff. Some melodies, but it's really not Middle Eastern music. I mean, it's really, we're really rock and roll with the Middle Eastern influences. Now, lyrically, all my writing comes from my time spent with the Bedouins in the Sinai Desert, no question. And my time spent in Jerusalem. It's like this kind of yearning for my home. Mm-hmm. I got to spend a lot of time with the Bedouins. Every year I would go, you know, for a couple of weeks to a month every summer and just live with them. And it really, it's just been the most inspiration. The desert is my biggest inspiration. I grew up in the desert in Palm Springs and I love, and Jerusalem is on the edge of a desert. And the Sinai Desert is just one of the most powerful places I've ever been in my life. You just go there and just, you know, you want to pray to whomever, you know, you just go there and it's just so inspiring and it's so mystical. And being with the Bedouin, being in their gardens, getting water from the well, picking their apricot trees, going, herding the goats with them, watching the women and the men interact when the women have veils on. So much of my songs, like Breathe With Me Slowly, the lyrics of that was based on, I went goat herding with some girls one day. And at the very end of the day, we all met at the well. And at the well, the boys came to pick up their sisters and cousins, but it was at the well where everyone's checking everyone out because they're separate, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, this whole day of goat herding with them, which was amazing. We all meet at the well, you know, and everyone's standing at the well, just looking at each other and the goats are running around. And it's like, you know, in Breathe With Me Slowly, the lyrics are eyes touching eyes at last, because that's what you have. You have eyes touching eyes.
Sure. We're going to cut for another commercial and then we'll come back and meet at the well and talk about it some more.
What a beautiful story. I love that.
Yeah.
We're taking you to break right now with Ruby Ate the Fig, and this is Waiting for You.
Ruby Ate the Fig, rock with a Middle Eastern vibe, is touring Southern California this October, opening for Jefferson Starship October 2nd at the Libby Bowl in Ojai, and headlining the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood on October 17th. Zeppelin and Mahavishnu riding through the desert, stopping to have tea with Grace Slick. Please go to RubyAteTheFig.com for tickets and tour schedules.
This is the Daniel Emmett Show. I've stolen this moment from our host, Jeremiah. He's asked me to give you the title of the song, Che vuole questa musica stasera? And that is a song that I fell in love with when I heard it for the first time, used in the soundtrack of the movie The Man from U.N.C.L.E. back, I believe it was in the mid-2010s, and just had to record it, and it is going to be a part of my upcoming album releasing later this year.
Stars hang heavy on the night like fruit. So right, and I'm waiting for you. The dates are falling from the tree and open with delicacy, and I'm waiting for you. How can I be lonely when I know that you also wait for me?
This is Johnny Gowdy. You're listening to The Jeremiah Show. You might know me from rock and roll and my podcast, How Did I Get Here? Look me up at johnnygowdy.com.
The Jeremiah Show, the only place to hear the Mike Gormley host interview series, bringing you iconic music business managers, musicians, and the players who have created your favorite music from 1960 to the 2000s. Find all of Mike's past interviews in the Jeremiah Show music catalog on thejeremiahshow.com or your favorite podcast sites.
Hi, this is Chris Hillman. If you've enjoyed my music with the Byrds, the Flying Burrito Brothers, Manassas, Souther Hillman Furay Band, McGuinn Clark and Hillman, Evercall Ready, Rice, Hillman and Peterson, and the Desert Rose Band, that's a lot of music. I hope you'll enjoy my new memoir, Time Between, My Life as a Bird, Burrito Brother, and Beyond. You can find it on my website, chrishillman.com. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We have back with us Mike Gormley. He's taken us behind the curtain with Ruby Ate the Fig. So glad to have Mike back and some of the members from Ruby Ate the Fig. We came back in and brought you back in with Ruby Ate the Fig. They came with Stones. Mike.
It Came with Stones. It is not only is it a fantastic title, it's a fantastic song. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of a story to that. We'll go. Also want to go back to your time with the Bedouin and so on. But since we just heard that song, what's the story behind it?
So They Came with Stones is a Bedouin story. So I've spent time with the Bedouins in the Sinai Desert. And They Came with Stones is based on a true story. And it's a famous story of some Bedouin sisters. They were going to be married off to some boys that they didn't love. So they snuck out at night and they climbed up a mountain, which is now called Jebel Banat, which is called the Mountain of the Daughters. They climbed up to the mountain and they braided their hair together and they jumped off.
Ooh.
And they died. So the story, that's what the story is based on. But my great-grandmother, who was Sephardic and born in the Ottoman Empire in Jerusalem, she used to change the lyrics for all the old Ladino songs she sang. And the songs would be depressing, like, you know, you will be cursed if you make a big meal and no one eats. You will be cursed if you make a beautiful bed and you can't sleep. And she would change the lyrics to, you will be blessed if you make a beautiful meal and everyone joins you. So in They Came with Stones, I changed the story. So the girls climb up to the mountain and they jump off, but then they fall into a flash flood and they're taken away to a beautiful new life. And that's the story of They Came with Stones. And Ali Paris, who we just mentioned on the kanun, the Middle Eastern zither, is playing a beautiful solo on They Came with Stones. And They Came with Stones was, the family came with stones to trade for the girls. The Bedouins really value stones. And I use stones and rocks and sand and desert in almost every song. It's a common theme in my writing.
Yeah, the Bedouin thing fascinates me. I'm not sure I even have any questions per se, except, you know, such a foreign experience, and to put it lightly, for certainly anybody in North America or whatever. But and the Bedouin, did you know them? Did you just show up one day? How do you?
I actually, my mom booked me on a tour because I actually went to the Sinai when I was 15 because I lived in Israel for a year for 10th grade, which totally changed my life on a kibbutz. And we went to the Sinai back then, just at the whole class. But then, you know, years later, my mom just booked me on a tour and we had some Bedouin guides. And I just said, oh man, I want to come back here like all the time. So I ended up meeting some of the Bedouins that were the guides for this little hiking tour. And then I just went back the next year and found these people and I've known them for a long time, you know, before they even were married and have kids. They're like my brothers. Now they have families and their kids are, you know, grown up and everything like that. So I just met them and it's, you meet them slowly. One, the first year you meet them and you have tea, and the second year you meet them again and you have tea, and the third year you meet them again and you have tea, and then you go to their home. You know, you go for a hike or whatever. So over many, many years, I managed to kind of get adopted by this certain family, these two brothers who I love dearly. And we've kind of grown up together.
When did you last see them?
Oh, it's been years. We haven't gone anywhere for years. And then it's been a long time because ISIS was in Sinai. And the border was closed and people in Israel were saying, don't go. And, you know, so it's been a while. It's really a source for me. So I can't wait to go back, and hopefully I'll go back this year.
We're heading for another commercial. We don't have too many more commercials to go. We'll get through this fairly quickly, but, there's a surprise factor to your background. I'm going to throw at folks when we get back, and that you sort of mentioned, and we're going to get into it. Jeremiah, what's up?
Here's Tremor by Ruby Ate the Fig.
Ruby Ate the Fig, rock with a Middle Eastern vibe, is touring Southern California this October, opening for Jefferson Starship October 2nd at the Libby Bowl in Ojai, and headlining the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood on October 17th. Zeppelin and Mahavishnu riding through the desert, stopping to have tea with Grace Slick. Please go to RubyAteTheFig.com for tickets and tour schedules.
Hey, what's up? It's Carter Rubin. I was privileged enough to be crowned the winner of season 19 of The Voice. You can go listen to my music on Apple Music, iTunes, YouTube Music, and Spotify. And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
You're listening to The Jeremiah Show. This is Zay Romeo. I am a contestant on season 20 of The Voice, and you can catch me on all my socials at Zay Romeo.
Check out The Jeremiah Show Facebook and YouTube pages for exclusive videos of our Jeremiah Show guest interviews.
Takes over the Jeremiah Show once again, and we are so happy to have him back. He is talking to some of the members of Ruby Ate the Fig. We just heard Ruby Ate the Fig when we brought you back from break with Five in Scorpio.
I got to ask you about something in Five in Scorpio, but first, Sharon and Mark, we're not ignoring you. We've got
up here.
We're coming to get you. Your background includes an ingredient that you don't hear from musicians very much. You went to UC Berkeley and you studied mathematics.
I did.
And you graduated, right?
I do. I have a math degree from
Berkeley. I find interesting. You didn't bother finishing high school, but UC Berkeley.
No, I dropped out of high school to go to college because high school was so boring.
True.
It was a waste of time.
No, right. I'm with you. I dropped out for an entirely different reason. I didn't drop out. I didn't like high school very much, but that's a whole other show, let me tell you. So mathematics and some people describe music as mathematics, or at least it involves mathematics. And so we've talked about the Middle Eastern aspect to your career, and we'll probably get back to more of that. But mathematics figures in, doesn't it? I mean, somehow I can hear it. Maybe I'm making it up. I don't know.
Well, I studied pure mathematics, which is not like the normal math that everyone thinks math is. It's not applied mathematics. In fact, the last 2 years of a pure math degree, we don't deal with numbers. And people make the connection like, oh, math and music. And it's basically they make that connection with number theory. I didn't connect with number theory, interestingly enough. So I didn't study the type of math that people connect up with music. I studied the type of math that was just like, it's just like Alice in Wonderland math. It's just, it was all structures. It was all like infinite sets of infinite sets. And I can't describe it, but it was incredibly beautiful and mind-blowing. It was like tripping. Mm-hmm. Pure math is like a trip, really. And if I weren't a musician, I would have totally gone on to get my PhD and I'd be doing pure math. But the music just, you know, pulled me. So I didn't take that route, but it really helped me with structure. So when I studied classical composition with Joseph Weber in Santa Fe, after I graduated from Berkeley, and, you know, he'd lay out these big pieces and he'd say, oh, wow, you get the structure immediately because of your math background. So, it is related in its, I guess, its beauty and the game of it.
Mm-hmm. The gentleman you mentioned, is that why you went to Santa Fe, or did you meet him after you got there?
I met him after I got here. I was actually I was taking acid at a Grateful Dead concert in Berkeley, and
you'll edit that part out.
Edit that part out. Actually, no, keep that part in because it's important. And I looked up at the sunset and I was connecting with the sunset, and all of a sudden a plane went by, and then another plane went by, and then a helicopter. And I went, I'm going to move to New Mexico and write music. And I moved here.
Boy, it's some people get inspiration in different ways. It's acid at a Grateful Dead concert and planes going by. It changed your life entirely.
It did. I moved to New Mexico and I started composing, and then I started writing songs, and I'm still here.
You should know that maybe one of the reasons that Sharon and I click on the music thing is I started UCLA as a math major.
That's right. Mark was a math major too.
I got my bachelor's and master's, but the bachelor's and master's ended up being in music. But I went there for the first 2 years as a math major.
That's right.
So when we're working on a piece of music, we often talk about the numerical aspects of the overtone series and how it affects the sound of things.
Exactly.
That's great. But were you at UCLA at the same time as Steve Bartek?
That's actually where I met Steve. Was he was a little bit ahead of me, and I took over his chair in the jazz band on guitar. He left, and then I went in. So it was we were like a revolving door. Hi, and we talk about that sometimes, about how it was just a chance, you know, little meeting that kind of developed further later as we, you know, worked on a lot of movies together with Danny Elfman and stuff like that.
Right. But you're very much involved with the Danny Elfman movie world. Steve is seen as his orchestrator, and he was, I guess, he was musical director of Oingo Boingo. But you're there. You're in there.
I'm the guy behind the scenes that makes everything work. Let's leave it at that. But it's been a great, you know, run. And part of what I bring to Ruby, because of having done all this orchestration work with Steve on all these movies, is you heard a little bit on Caress the Moon. You'll hear elements of orchestration in They Came with Stones. A lot of the songs that Ruby has done, I bring that. And even in the vocal arranging, I do all the
completely. Vocal oh, yes.
It's great to have an artist like Sharon and producing the records so that her vision can be presented musically. And I utilize all the tools I've learned over the years to help make Ruby very, very distinctive sonically. And I think Jeremiah even mentioned how much he likes the way the sound is a real element of the band. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I want to make Sharon's music come to life in such a way that it's very unique and very powerful.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're doing a good job on that, Mark.
Mark also brings us to America.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the rock and roll. Well, Mark, you know, you can't get the rock and roll.
Mark, Mark makes sure that we're in America, so.
That's cool. It is a rock band. I mean, when you get right down to it, it's a rock band.
Yeah,
I don't want everybody to get the impression that this is, you know, going to be like, you know, finger cymbals.
It's a rock band.
And you know, little shaking things and that's it. No, this is a powerful, we have one of the greatest, most powerful drummers on the planet who can actually play complex music like this with all this metrical changes and stuff and make you groove and make you feel the music in your body. And we're a rock band that really is saying things in the lyrics that you're not going to hear from most rock bands, which is about these great stories, about human feelings. And one of the things that, you know, when people go, wow, this is an odd name, this Ruby Ate the Fig. I always think of a couple of things. I always think of the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, which is a great poem, I think from the 11th century. And it's a play on words about that, which is a great story. It's a great tale. And that's kind of embodied in this. But there's also, Ruby is obviously a woman who decides to take the sweetness of life. She ate the fig. She decided to enjoy it. And the music, I hope, conveys that to the listener.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would go with it that it does. Well, while we're talking, I want to get back to Five and Scorpio because there's a line in there I want to ask about. But Mark, you spent a lot of time with Jeff Lynne and ELO. And
yeah, I toured with ELO.
Yeah. You've
recorded
worked with
on
a lot
a bunch of
bands.
Records.
Pardon?
And recorded on a bunch of the records.
Yeah, you did. You were very much part of his world for quite a while. These are very different bands. How do you, as a musician, how do you switch from one to the other? You know, ELO has kind of a classical background in a way.
To harken back to your reaction to seeing the video and going, I know that guy. It's like sometimes I think of myself as the Forrest Gump of the music industry. It's like whether you saw Forrest in all these great historical moments, he was meeting different presidents and doing all sorts of things. I've been blessed and lucky enough to work with some amazing musicians and do a lot of amazing things. And Ruby Ate the Fig is a project that I love and really, you know, very proud of and want to make sure that, you know, even everything that we present to the world is really, really high quality. So it's just a matter of, you change your hats. You go, okay, now I'm in Ruby world and great musicians to perform with. And then you do, other things like, you know, performing with Tom Petty at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something like that.
Anyway, no small moment in your life.
There's great things that happen as one traverses the life of a musician. And I can see by the wall behind you that you've had some wonderful times as well. And, one of the things that with all this lockdown and pandemic and things like that, Sharon and I have actually kind of talked about that music can be very healing. And we're really hoping that there will be an opportunity for musicians to be out there and everybody be safe. And all the venues are being very safe about masks and vaccinations and things like that. And the one in Ojai on October 2nd is an outdoor concert, which is a very big thing. And we think that music can help people remember the joy of life, and to go out and see live music now is something that I think can really heal people.
It's getting confusing because it's opening up, but then others are closing down. So we're still in the middle somewhere, but a lot of bands and a lot of promoters are heavy on the precaution side. Mm-hmm. And
that's good. You want to make your audience feel safe. You want to say, hey, we've done all the precautions. Everything's being taken care of. Come on down and enjoy yourself and see some live music. Even the shows in Santa Barbara, what was the show that Jeremiah mentioned? My Morning Jacket is tonight.
Yeah. My Morning Jacket.
When people go, boy, Ruby Ate the Fig, that's an odd name for a band. I go, well, listen, there's My Morning Jacket. Where's your, it's like Afternoon Jacket and Evening Jacket. People respond to the music and the name can be something that intrigues you and says, I want to find out more about this and take a listen. And that's the way to do it.
And a lot of people are going out to live shows. They're getting protected. Some don't like it. But it's, I think it's pretty much, at least in California. Yeah. You gotta deal with the rules, if you will.
But, and as far as being mathematicians, this is, I don't think people want to go see a couple people stand up there and talk about set theory. this is my reaction to mathematics at this point. That's my reaction to mathematics at this point. I say music, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. I wasn't suggesting people go to math class. I was just wondering how it came into the music, not knowing your math background.
There's a lot of people who are musicians who have responded favorably to the sound of Ruby, and then they say something like, boy, Sharon really likes meter changes, which is how many beats there are in a bar. Listened to 5 in Scorpio. Well, the name actually is a little tip to what the meter of that song is. It's in 5/4. So that's not your normal sort of Western music. And then it has meter changes to turn around on the little riffs and turnarounds where it's not just you just start and go 1, 2, 3, 4 and you stay that way the whole song. It's going to be, okay, when we have a new song that we're working on called The Tent, which isn't quite done yet, but it will be soon. Which is an epic piece with strings and choir and full orchestra sound and all this other stuff. And it has sections with transitions, and it has metrical structure that helps you just become enveloped in this amazing story. Like Sharon has talked about some of the stories that she wants to tell. And if you want to give them a little teaser, tell them what just a little bit about what it's about, Sharon.
The Tent. It's also a very famous story, but I won't give it away. But it's there's a huge battle that happens, and this one warrior is really not a good guy. And he gets surrounded, and all his soldiers get killed, and then he runs. He just flees. He abandons all his soldiers and just runs into the middle of the desert. And right in the middle of the desert, he finds a tent. And there's a woman in the tent, and that's all I'll say.
Okay.
Tune in next week for the remainder of the story.
Next time when we release The Tent.
Wait for the watch Ruby Ate the Fig releasing The Tent.
Yeah, The Tent is one of our favorites. It's pretty amazing.
Is it a part of the live show yet?
Yes.
Yes.
We're playing it every show, and Mark did just phenomenal orchestration. And we're gonna actually at
the first show in Ojai on October 2nd. It's our closer, right?
We're ending with The Tent on every show, and it's really I love performing.
Well, now you're teasing us, so somehow we got it. When the tent is done, we got to get it back.
Come out and see it and hear it.
See The Tent. It's really amazing. It's like, oh, okay. And my writing totally went to a whole nother direction when I wrote The Tent. Was like, oh, okay. And it's just the beginning. It's like, oh, this is where I'm going to go now. So The Tent is a huge direction shift.
I wanted to ask, what was that? Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted, it's an epic.
Okay.
Keep calling it. Good. It's an epic.
I want to go back to a song we heard a minute ago, Five and Scorpio. That's the correct title. Mm-hmm. It's the line that says, born into this life 42nd time. 42nd time has caught my eye. Uh-huh. And I'm wondering, if, you know, is that a belief on your part or what?
That's great. No, it's, well, the character is, she's born in this like 42nd time, like reincarnation. She can't escape her crime. That's the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
So, and she's, you know, it's a space, you know, traveler of the stars, you know, she's a space gal. So,
or a spirit who's exploring, all of her surroundings and how to maybe do something to rise above her state. Mm-hmm. I remember when Sharon first played me this song and she sung that line and I looked at her and I said, so do you know the importance of the number 42? And she goes, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, there's a very, very important work in literature that, you know, references that exact number. And she goes, no, I just picked it because I liked the sound of it when I was singing, right? Isn't that what you said?
That's it. Yeah, the number came out.
Mike, I'm wondering if maybe you latched onto it. Do you know what work I'm referring to?
No, I don't. I'm going to ask you to explain it because you can't tease us like that. So
okay, I thought maybe you knew and I didn't want to take away your thunder there.
I it caught my eye just simply because born into this life 42nd time, I that's what the whole line caught me.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good. That's the first line of the song and it pulled you in. Well, when I first heard it and I asked if Sharon knew what the significance of 42 was, it was something that I shared with her that was kind of really a cool coincidence. But I said to her that there's a very important work in literature that's called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And her character in the song is someone who travels the stars and, you know, goes to Mars and, you know, rode camels and, you know, does all these different things. So the 42 kind of popped at me right away too. Mm-hmm. And I asked her if she knew about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And she said, no. I said, well, it's a long story that everybody should read that talks about going to all these different places. But the whole thing is to go and to ask the most important being intelligence, which is a computer at the end of the galaxy, at the end of the universe, and ask, what is the meaning of life? And it takes, you know, all this time calculating and it's trying to answer, you know, to the reader and to the character in the book, what is the meaning of life? And the answer is 42.
I had no idea. Okay.
And she didn't know. So anyway, there's a reference to a important piece of literature in the culture that she just absorbed sort of by osmosis, and it's in there. So I encourage everyone to read the book. It's a wonderfully funny and entertaining book, and that will give you a insight into the Five and Scorpio lyric.
Well, that's fantastic. Look, we're believe it or not, out of time. And it's fantastic talking to you. There's so much more to this band and to the people in this band. We could do a week long special, but let people know, Ojai with Jefferson Airplane on the 2nd of October at Libby, mm-hmm. and then Hotel Cafe on October 17th. Mm-hmm. Headline at 9 p.m. There was another one in there somewhere.
And we're playing the Music Alley in Santa Barbara, October 14th at 9 p.m.
Fantastic.
And we're also playing San Diego.
No, we're not playing San Diego.
Oh, okay.
We're also playing Big Bear. We're opening for the Oingo Boingo former members, October 8th in Santa Clarita. And all of this is on our website, rubyatethefig.com.
All right.
Check that. So you can check all our shows out.
And of course, check the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we would love to see people at our shows. It'd be great just to celebrate blooming again.
You know, we have sets and everything. It's a, you know, wonderful show with an entire immersive experience of traveling to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll take us there. I can tell. Wherever that may be, we're going.
We're going. Hold on.
All right. Jeremiah, we got some music to play at the end for folks to hear. But I want to say thank you so much to both of you. I can't wait to see you at Hotel Cafe.
Thank you, Mike. And Jeremiah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jeremiah.
Thank you. Thank you, I just want to say Mike Gormley does Richard. It again. Not only is the music, you know, before we began the show and the interview, the music was already so powerful, but now the interview backs that up, the stories, the imagery that you've added to my understanding of Ruby Ate the Fig and the love of the music. Just really, hats off to all you guys. It's really great. Great music, great stories.
Thank you.
Definitely go check out the show. We'll be there. And so we've teased you long enough. Here is the premiere of Breathe With Me Slowly by Ruby Ate the Fig.
It was the outside, it was nightside, the branches of the moon. You taste my music, I play you. I'm taken in too soon. The earth is digging, she is waiting for a tree that wants to bloom. And in the river whisper, our streams will be in tune.
Sharon El-Yashar with Ruby Ate the Fig.
And I'm Mark Mann with Ruby Ate the Fig.
We are doing a Southern California tour. Please check out our show dates at rubyatethefig.com. We're playing Santa Barbara Music Alley October 14th at 9 p.m. We're also playing the Libby Bowl in Ojai a week from Saturday, October 2nd.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball, and you can find me every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at www.facebook.com/MilesZunigaLovesYou. I do a live stream. I'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Hi, this is comedian Maz Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com. Check out our website at thejeremiahshow.com. We are on SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at thejeremiahshow.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Real Jeremiah Show. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Communicate. Listen more. Evolve.
They were beautiful, the most beautiful.